This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today we have with us the 20th Juz. We will start, of course, a little bit before the 20th Juz because we have to cover today Surah An-Naml, which is Surah number 27. Surah Qasas, which is Surah number 28, these two surahs starts in the 19 juz and continues on to the 20th. So we'll cover these two, inshallah, today. The 20th juz also has Surah An-Kabut, which is the 29th surah. That surah we will get to, inshallah, ta'ala, tomorrow. But today, what we have with us is the 27th surah and the 28th surah. And this comprises of the 20th juz of the Quran. This is, the 20th sibara. This is now what it means is that we are very much into the latter part of the Quran, the last third of the Quran. And this is appropriate because we are also approaching the last half of Ramadan. And these last 10 nights of Ramadan are very, very critical nights. These are the nights where, the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power is. So we ask Allah to give us the ability to worship Him in these last 10 nights and to seek Laylatul Qadr, inshallah, and that He gives us the blessings of Laylatul Qadr. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We'll start with Surah An-Naml. Surah An-Naml is the surah that the name of the surah means the ant. Let's read the introduction to the surah. Taaseen. Tilka ayatul Qur'ani wa kitabin mubeen. Taaseen. These are verses from the Qur'an, a book that makes things clear. Hudan wa bushra lil mu'minin. It is a guidance and good news for the believers. Alladhina yuqimuna as-salah wa yu'tuna az-zakah wa hum bil akhirati hum yuqinun. Those who pray regularly, pay zakat, the obligatory charity, and have firm faith in the hereafter. This is the key part. Bil akhirati hum yuqinun. That's the thing that drives, the engine that drives the car of the believer. Is وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They are certain, not probability, certain that there is going to be a life after that, after this life, after death, and that is what sets the believer up for everything. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. And to the contrary, the ones who have rejected the truth, they are so because they do not believe in the hereafter. They say there is no life after this life, and this is the only life that we have. And thus, these people, زَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. They are the ones whose actions seem good to them. They feel that their actions, what they do, the choices that they made, the fact that they don't see that there is a life in the next life, that seems to be like a good choice to them. Allah says we have made them think that this is actually a good decision. فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And thus they are, the analogy is like the one who is wandering blindly without any direction. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. They are the ones who will have the worst of the punishment. And in the hereafter, they will be of the greatest losers. إِنَّكَ تُلَقَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ عَلِيمٍ. You have received this Qur'an from the one who is all-wise and all-knowing. The interesting thing here is that they are very happy with their choices in this life, thinking that, oh, everything is hunky-dory. But in reality, in the next life, they will find out that all those choices were bad choices. And unfortunately, their life's work has gone to waste. All of that because they disbelieved in the concept of the next life and accountability, and that is what set them up for a failure. So this is the introduction to the surah. Now, what is the theme of this surah? The theme of the surah is, one of the themes of the surah is there a God besides Allah? Question mark. This is a rhetorical question that Allah asks. He repeats this question, أَإِلَهُمَّ Allah, 6 times in 6 consecutive ayat in this surah. And it's a very, very powerful passage. And that, that is the what the surah is trying to present as one of the central themes. The surah highlights this point by highlighting Allah's miraculous signs. Okay, miraculous signs historically and miraculous signs presently. Historically, the prophets who had miracles, how Allah demonstrates His power and the fact that He is the only one worthy of worship through those miracles. And then presently, as we'll see, Allah will speak about all these beautiful things that are around us and the Quran. And those are the present miracles that show to us that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah, as you might notice, began with Taseen. The surah before, Surah Shu'ara, began with Taseen Meme. The surah after will begin with Taseen Meme as well. These disjointed letters, whenever they begin a surah, after that Allah will speak about the miraculous nature of the Quran, how great the Quran is. And you see that here, Tilka ayatul kitab al-Qur'ani wa kitabin mubin. And that is again an illusion or a way for Allah to remind people that this Quran is from Allah. This is, you know, the letters of the language are in front of you. And it is an open challenge for the one who wants to think, who wants to produce a surah like the Quran. The challenge is open and there. I was watching something, unfortunately, that came across my timeline. I'm saying unfortunate because I wasted my time. But it was somebody tried to produce a surah like the Quran in like a, it's like a mockery of the, that they're trying to make of the Quran. And they called it the surah of COVID. And it's actually hilarious that this person thinks that somehow they have met the challenge of the Quran by fabricating this thing. And basically, just because the words are rhyming, all of a sudden, this is now a surah. Now, what this fool doesn't realize, whoever was behind this, it's I think some ex-Muslims who are up to this stuff. Usually these are the guys who do this. What's interesting is that if you look at the poetry of Ali radiallahu anhu, he had some of the most incredible poetry that rhymed as greatly as you can imagine. And Ali would actually do tafsir of Quran through his poetry. So he had ayat of Quran in his poetry. But Ali or nobody else ever claimed that his poetry all of a sudden is now like a challenge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's or the response to Allah's challenge that here are the words of the Quran or here are the letters of the Arabic language. Produce a Quran like it. No one ever in their right mind thought that or believed that, because the rhyming ends of the surah is not what makes the Quran miraculous. It is the message in it. It is the precision in it. It's how the everything ties together and conveys a coherent message, despite that it's revealed over such a long period of time in piecemeal fashion, and so many other reasons. So it's an interesting little tangent that I decided to, you know, talk to you about, how the intro of these surahs that we're studying right now talks about the Quran's miraculous nature, and this challenge is not met by people, except that they have made themselves to look like fools. When the Quran was revealed, the people of Mecca, even though they were staunch enemies, acknowledged that this is definitely something very special. The one who produces some nonsense and says, oh, look, here is, I'm trying to meet the challenge of the Quran, they're just making a fool out of themselves, because no one takes them seriously. They're just actually laughed at and scorned at, because the value of that composition is completely worthless. No one would bat an eyelid at it. So anyway, that is the introduction to the surah, and Allah will proceed to the miraculous signs. Firstly, He talks about Musa alayhi salam, as is the style of the Quran. Allah speaks about Musa alayhi salam quite a bit. Musa alayhi salam, what's mentioned that's different about him this time is that he was actually terrified when he threw down his staff, when he saw the staff moving like a snake. وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. He turned and fled. This is one of the strongest people that you can imagine. And you will see this, inshallah ta'ala, in surah number 28, surah Qasas. But what's amazing is that everybody is, we're all humans. We all have like, you know, we all fear things. And when we see something that's very, very, you know, like, whether we can't explain it, generally we are overtaken by our fear. So Musa alayhi salam was overtaken by fear and he ran away by the amazingness of the miracle. But Allah, you know, consoled him and reassured him that, "Oh Moses, do not be afraid. The messengers have no need to fear in my presence." Okay. Also, Allah mentions that Musa alayhi salam had 9 signs. Okay. Put your hand inside your cloak next to your bosom in your armpit, and it will come out shining white without any blemish. This will be one of the 9 signs for Pharaoh and his people, for they are truly a rebellious people. Okay? So this, Allah introduces the idea of how he sent miraculous signs historically to Musa alayhi salam to show he is the only one worthy of worship, because he is the one who sent these miraculous signs with Musa alayhi salam. Of course, when these miraculous signs came to the Pharaoh, they, of course, rejected it and they called it sorcery. It's a magic trick. It's something that he's doing to trick us. It's not really a real, something that is breaking. It's not something that is breaking the laws of the universe. It's just some trickery. And they persisted in rejecting it. But that was something that did not help them. That led to their doom eventually. The next prophet mentioned here, that is more in detail, is Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman, or Solomon as it's mentioned in the Bible, is his story is mentioned in quite a bit of detail here. We covered a little bit of it in Surah number 21. This one has more details. And then Surah number 38, we will have some more details of the Prophet of Allah, Solomon. Okay. Here, the amazing, amazing miracles of Sulaiman are mentioned. The incredible, vast array of miracles that Allah gave him, the power that he was blessed with, the kingdom that he presided over, the dominance that he had unlike anybody else. And that was all, that's all mentioned here because Allah wants to show that he gives these miraculous signs to whoever he wants of his prophets to show he is the one who is worthy of all acts of worship and him alone. It starts by mentioning that we gave David and Solomon knowledge. And that's one of the greatest blessings a person can have, the ability and the blessing of knowledge. Knowledge of all types, by the way, not just religious knowledge or worldly knowledge. It's not one or the other. In fact, we're encouraged to learn as much as we can about everything that we can. And encouraged to learn about our faith and other aspects that are not necessarily related to our faith. You know, like our historically Muslim scholars were, or, you know, our educational systems were, where a person would come, they would learn Quran, they would learn grammar, they would learn math, they would learn a little bit of chemistry, and they would learn some fiqh, all in the same setup, all in the masjid. Okay, that's how things were set up for us, because everything we believe, all of this is a study of Allah's creation, the chemistry and whatnot, or it's Allah's words, like the Quran, or is Allah's law, like the Sharia, the Sunnah, and all of it goes together. When we acquire this knowledge, we become better, more informed people, and that's a blessing. So Allah mentions of all the great miracles of Dawud and Sulaiman, firstly, that they were given the blessing of knowledge. And that is a great thing to be thankful for. I'd like you to notice how Sulaiman is a very thankful person. How he will constantly thank Allah in this passage. He says, "Alhamdulillah alladhi faddalana ala kathirin min ibadihi al-mu'minin." They both said, "Praise be to God who has exalted us above many of his believing servants." Okay, he has taken care of us and he's made sure that we are the ones who are elevated above the others. And that's a favor of Allah that he has chosen to favor us with. Now, next Allah mentions, وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُدُ. Of course, after Dawud alayhi salam passes away, the kingship passes on to Sulaiman, and he is now the king of Bani Israel. And he has been given many great miracles. O people, he says, we have been taught the speech of the birds and endowed with all good things. Meaning he could understand birds, he could understand animals, the speech of animals, and he could communicate with the birds and animals as he wanted to. And then this is a great favor of God. Now, for Solomon, his army was a It was a wicked army, wicked in a good way, okay? Meaning it had jinn and men and birds all were gathered in his presence and were ranged in battle order. So this is humans and there is jinn and then there is air support with the birds. You know, this was a juggernaut of an army that Sulaiman alayhi salam had. And now as his army is passing by, right? They are passing by this valley of the ants. Okay, حتى إذا أتوا على واد النمل, the valley of the ants, and that's what the surah is named after. One of the ants, قالت نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم, said, O ants, enter your dwellings in case Solomon and his army inadvertently crush you, that they crush you without realizing. Okay, Sulaiman alayhi salam, the great prophet of Allah, obviously understood what the ant is saying, because that was one of the miracles that he had, and he smiled broadly after hearing this. And as he recognizes his blessings, he, as you will notice, thanks Allah immediately. He thanks Allah by saying, "Oh my Lord, inspire me to be thankful for the blessings that you have granted me and my parents, and inspire me to do good deeds that please you, and include me by your grace among your righteous servants." What an amazing dua. I encourage you folks to please learn this dua. Surah number 27, ayah 19. This dua, very beautiful dua. Learn it, make it, because we have many blessings to be thankful for. Many, many favors that Allah has done to us that we should be grateful for. And this is a beautiful dua of someone who had the most blessings of anybody. And he made this dua to thank Allah for all the blessings He had given. And the thing to, for us to note is that when we are blessed with something, when we recognize our blessing, we should thank Allah for that blessing. And that is a way that Allah will give us even more of those blessings, inshallah. Then he goes, the surah talks about another miraculous aspect of Sulaiman's life, which was he had power over the birds, particularly one type of bird, which is a hoopoe, al-hudhud, okay? A hoopoe, or that's what a hoopoe looks like. This bird, al-hudhud, is mentioned in the Quran, and this is a bird that was like a spy of the intelligence of Sulaiman's army. So Sulaiman is alayhi salam doesn't see him, so he says, "Where is this bird?" Right? La ara al-hudhud, am kana min al-ghaibin. So he wants. Sulaiman alayhi salam is going to say that I'm going to punish him severely or order him to be executed. Not because he's some tyrant, but because, you know, the formation of the army depends on everybody being in the ranks together. So if one person breaks the ranks, that puts the whole army at risk. And that is why he is very stern here. But Hudhud was not too far off. Hudhud came and said, "Hey, I have learned something that you don't know. I have come to you from Sheba, min Saba, min naba'in yaqeen, with some very reliable news. I brought something." Okay, what is it that I brought, oh Sulaiman? I have brought news of a woman who is ruling over the people of Sheba, and she's been given everything, and she has a mighty throne. I have found her people, unfortunately, though, worshipping the sun. All right, and look at how nice this bird is, right? Like, this, we can learn from this bird quite a few things here. He says, وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Satan has made their conduct appear good to them. It's not like, you know, these people are just like evil people. You know, they've been tricked by the devil, okay? And thus has been diverted from the right path, and that's why they're not guided. So he's like, you know, trying to give them an excuse, these people, or not an excuse for worshipping other than Allah, excuse me, but more like, try to find something to say, you know what, I don't condone their behavior, but I think they could be better. And that's something nice that we can appreciate from the way this bird is speaking about people. I think as people, we should have even more dignity when speaking about other people and speak well of them, hoping that what they're doing, if they're doing something wrong, is just a situation that they have made some wrong choices, and they're not beyond hope or beyond repair. Now, Sulaiman alayhi salam wants to verify this news. He's like, "Well, we shall see whether you've spoken the truth or you are just making this up. Go and deliver my letter to them and tell them, and then we'll see how they respond." Sulaiman alayhi salam sends the letter. The queen of Sheba receives it. She says, oh, my counselors, oh, my generals, al-mala, the people who are leaders, I have received an honorable letter. It is from Sulaiman. It is from Solomon. And it reads, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the ayah of the Quran. This is the only place in the Quran where Bismillah is an ayah inside the surah, by the way. Surah 27, ayah 30. And then the letter of Sulaiman is very simple. No small talk. Straight to the point. Allah ta'alu alayya wa'atuni muslimin. Don't exalt yourselves above me, but come to me all in submission. This shows you how dominant and powerful Sulaiman was. He's like, don't even bother trying to resist. Just submit. I am a prophet. I am, the one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I am, I have received revelation from God. Come to me as believers and submit. Okay. So this is a very interesting, this is the way a person who has full confidence in their strength, that is how they are speaking. Now, the queen of Sheba, there's a lot of like really cool things to learn from her. Okay, firstly, the Quran, as you can see, is talking about somebody who's a disbeliever here at this point in the story. Not a Muslim at this point. She's a disbeliever at this point. But as we are going to see, this is the praiseworthy aspects of her life. Praiseworthy aspects are mentioned about her. The things that we can learn from her that are like really cool things and like things of wisdom and things of things that have real value. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's from a person who's a believer or not. It's something like the Prophet said, "Al-hikmah dhallatul mu'min aynama wajadaha fahuwa ahqqu biha." The wisdom is like the property of the believer. Wherever he finds it, he has the most claim to it. Meaning, we learn wisdom from all sources, from all types of people, whether they are Muslims or not. And the Quran here is telling us that. Also, the Quran here is mentioning the story. Again, not to say that, the Quran has criticism of groups of disbelievers, groups of people who have rejected, large, communities. But individually, as I mentioned, the Quran does not generalize, gives exceptions, gives due when gives credit when credit is due, and this is one example. So look at this lady. She is like, okay, what do you think, generals and our leaders? What should we do? They are going to say, well, we can fight, right? We're strong. We can fight. Look at the wisdom of this lady. She recognizes that this is not just like any other person. This is perhaps someone who has revelation. And even then, she recognizes that war and battle isn't going to get anywhere. She's like, look, when mighty kings, innal muluka idha dakhalu qarya, when kings enter a country, invade a country, they spoil it, they destroy it. Afsaduha wa ja'alu a'izzata ahliha adhilla, and they humiliate its noblest inhabitants. And these men will do the same thing. All right. So she is a lady of wisdom. She's like, look, war, just because out of fighting out of emotion before diplomacy is not a wise tactic, because war, even if you win, is going to cause destruction. And that is a really, really, that's a person of wisdom who's speaking here. Okay. Subhanallah. So she's like, let's try some diplomacy. She tries diplomacy with a president. Sulaiman Islam is having none of that. He says, I am not interested in diplomacy or bribes. I'm here to extend the rule of Allah over as many people as he can. And he now is going to demonstrate what he means business here, Sulaiman Islam. Okay. So he wants to do his job, which is to spread the message of revelation across as many people as he can. But also, he doesn't want bloodshed either. Okay. Now, what does he do? He says, okay, my jinn, who of you, ayyuhal mala, he's talking to his jinn here. Okay. Which of you can bring me her throne? Because the hoopoe had told Sulaiman that she has a big, magnificent throne. One of them said, I can bring it to you. Ifrit, a strong devil, a strong demon, said, I can bring it to you before you get up from your seat. The one who had knowledge of the book, قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا أتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. The one who had knowledge of the book said, I will bring it to you in the twinkling of an eye. Before you're, you know, even before you're ever done blinking, I can bring it to you. Okay? And this was the miracle that he had, the power over the jinn who could do extraordinary superhuman feats for him, right? And as soon as he had finished saying this, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ, when Solomon saw it placed before him, he exclaimed, this is by the grace of my Lord. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Again, as he is recognizing his favors, as he sees the blessings that are, you know, like unfolding in front of his eyes, he immediately thanks Allah for those blessings. And that is the attitude of gratitude that the Prophet of Allah Sulaiman is teaching us. This is by the grace of my Lord to test me, whether I am grateful or ungrateful. And whoever is grateful, it is for his own good, for the good of his own self. And whoever is ungrateful, then surely my Lord is فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. My Lord is self-sufficient and generous. غَنِي is actually someone who doesn't need anything or anyone. In fact, in Arabic, the word for wealthy, you know, is someone who is ghani, is wealthy, meaning you don't need much, right? And the Prophet said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى كَثْرَةُ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Wealth is not, you know, collecting lots of assets and materials. In fact, being wealthy is being content. You don't need much. You don't desire much. And that is true wealth that the Prophet ﷺ alludes to. And then one of the names of Allah is Al-Ghani, the one who is free of all need, the one who doesn't need anybody in his creation. He is self-sufficient. So if when we thank Allah, we are thanking Allah because that is for our own benefit. And if we don't thank Allah, that is will be to our own detriment. It's not somehow making Allah whole or something, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. Our thanking Allah for the blessings He's given us makes us whole, makes us, you know, recipients of more good, makes us happier now and happier in the next life. As Sister Hera is saying online, gratitude increases blessings for sure. Now, so he brings the throne and now he wants to show this lady before there's like a confrontation that, look, I am a prophet of Allah. So he says, okay, make this throne, disguise the throne. So let's see if she can recognize or not. When she came to Solomon, Sulaiman asked her, do you recognize this throne? She's like, this looks exactly like the throne that I have. Okay. And now this lady before Sulaiman can give her the message or show her another sign that he is a prophet. She's like, you know what? We actually already know that you are a prophet of Allah. وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. And we've already accepted Islam. Subhanallah, look at this lady's humility, okay? And that's and wisdom of this lady. This is what we learn from her, the Queen of Sheba. Wisdom not to get into a confrontation, okay? A war because of emotion and a misplaced sense of patriotism. No, she's like, let's talk first. Let's figure things out, okay? And that's wise. That shows wisdom. And that shows actual, like real, being really secure about yourself. And that's something that we learn from the Queen of Sheba. The second thing is it shows humility. Again, she is not of the same ethnicity as Sulaiman. Sulaiman is a foreign person. So here it seems different for her to accept someone from a foreign ethnicity as like her superior, right? But this is the thing we learn about the people who are true believers. It doesn't matter who brings the truth, in what the messenger looks like, the people who want to follow the truth will follow that messenger. And they will have the humility to put themselves lower, they will have the humility to lower themselves to the command of Allah, to the choice of Allah. Allah chose Sulaiman to be a prophet, so I will submit. Allah chose the Prophet to be a prophet, so I will submit to Allah by accepting. And that humility, you can see, she's not there. You know, there's no like pent up frustration that's about to come out. She is humble and she has submitted to Allah. And the last miracle that was shown to her was the floor of the palace. قِيلَ لَهَا ادْخُلِ الصَّرْحَ. So the castle or the palace of Sulaiman alayhi salam was so magnificent that the floors were made of this amazing glass that was see-through. So when she saw this, she's never seen anything like it. She was like, oh, this is, and by the way, under the castle, there is a river flowing. So she thought that this is a pool of water that she's about to step in. So she lifted her dress up and bared her legs, not wanting her dress to get wet. And then Suleiman said, actually, this is not, you're not stepping into water. This is صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِنْ قَوَارِيرٍ. It is a palace paved with glass. Paved with glass. How amazing of a miraculous, how amazing the creation that Suleiman ruled over was. And that is when she was even more inclined to submit. And she said, أَسْلَمْتُ مَعَا إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَا سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I submit myself along with Solomon to the God, to Allah, to the Lord of the universe. So this is miraculous signs. Again, the surah's theme of the surah is there a God besides Allah? And he will show that to us by mentioning his miraculous signs historically. Historically with Musa, historically with Suleiman, historically with Salih alayhi salam. Next story is Salih, who was sent to Thamud saying, worship Allah, an'abud Allah, worship Allah alone. The people, of course, were divided into two groups of people who were believing and a group who were opposing him. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that this story, as we've seen before many times, the part that is pertinent here that is not found in other parts is this information. وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ. There were in the city 9 men who spread corruption in the land and would not reform. They said, let us bind ourselves by an oath sworn in the name of God that we shall attack Saleh and his family by night, and to his protector, like his other extended family, we will say that, hey, we didn't see anything, what happened, and we're telling the truth. They're like, look, let's kill Saleh and let's kill his family, and then we'll just lie about the fact that we were not there. Okay. Now, what's interesting, Allah says they devised the plan and we also devised the plan, but they were not aware of it. So look at the consequences of their plan, how we destroyed them and their people utterly. Subhanallah. Here, Allah's miraculous sign to Saleh was the she-camel, right? The she-camel. And then the she-camel, these 9 people led, tried to assassinate Saleh. They didn't do so, but then ended up killing the camel, the she-camel. And that is when Allah's destruction was unleashed upon the people of Saleh, the people of Thamud. So that is, again, in line with the theme of the surah, that the miraculous signs that Allah has sent historically, they were there to convince people that only Allah is worthy of worship. Now he will talk about miraculous signs that are all around us, because we are not witnessing these historical signs with our eyes. We are reading about them. We're hearing about them. Okay. But Allah's like, if you actually want to see miraculous signs, then you look all around you, and those will be enough to convince the one looking for the truth. Okay. The people of Saleh, who had like a miracle, a camel that was not born, it was created on the spot, and a camel that not just was created, it burst through a rock and came out as a camel. Okay, this was inexplicable by the laws of physics or the laws of nature. Okay, but yet very few of them believed. Okay, the people of Musa, the Pharaoh, almost nobody from the people of Pharaoh believed in the miracles, and there were 9 of them. Okay, this is the point. The people who are often looking or asking, demanding miracles, often really don't have any interest. That is just a misdirection. But the ones who really want to believe, the ayat of Allah are all around them, and they will be amazed by the creation of Allah, be awestruck by it, and that would give them the conviction, أَإِلَهُمَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a God besides Allah? Okay. أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who created the heavens and the earth and sends down water for you from the sky, by which we make luxuriant gardens grow. حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ. You could never make such trees grow in them. If you tried to artificially irrigate them, you wouldn't be able to. But Allah grows them. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there another deity besides Allah? Is there a God besides Allah? That's the question. The miraculous sign of Allah should lead us to the answer of this rhetorical question, that no, only Allah is worthy of worship. He is the one who has made the earth a stable place to live in, set made rivers flow through it, set mountains upon it, all these amazing different landscapes that are on the earth, placed a barrier between the two seas. Is there another deity besides God? أَإِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of them don't know. Is he who responds to the oppressed when he calls out, يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Subhanallah, the feeling of, you know, making sincere dua, sincere supplication, and then having that supplication answered before your eyes. How amazing is that feeling? That is a true sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَكْشِفُ السُّورِ, relieves suffering. وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ, and has put you in charge of the earth, you know, generation after generation. Who does that? أَإِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any other God besides Allah? How little you pay heed. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. How little time you spend thinking about these things. أَمَّا يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Who guides you in the darkness of the land and in the sea? Helps you navigate the rough terrain. Who sends the breeze as heralds of his mercy? This is the breeze that, you know, cools things down. Or breeze that brings in the rain. إِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a deity besides God? تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Exalted is he above what they associate. أَمَّا يَبْدَعُ الْخَلْقِ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. He who originates the creation, then regenerates it. وَيَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And gives you sustenance from the heaven and the earth, from the sky and the earth. إِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a deity besides Allah? الْهَاتُ بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Subhanallah, very beautiful ayat, that miraculous signs of Allah are all around us, and they should give us the conviction that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. The miraculous signs of Allah historically that He sent, miraculous signs of Allah that He's created in the creation all around us, they are beautiful, and they are all over the place. Also of that is the Quran. Ayah number 79, Allah references... 76, Allah references the Quran here, that إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أَكْثَرَ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. The Quran explains to the children of Israel much of what they differ in. Meaning, it's not just retelling their story. It's not just recycling like the content from the Bible. It actually speaks about the stuff that they... are like their theological disputes that are not like publicly discussed debates. These are like matters that their scholars would discuss and matters that their books discuss. So Allah says the fact that the Quran speaks about that stuff, right, shows you that this is from Allah, because the Prophet had no way of accessing the details. He may be... definitely he knew about the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he knew about other prophets of Bani Israel, but the details, no way. There is no access, because that information was not publicly available. But the Quran speaks about that, shows you it's a miracle from Allah, it's a miraculous sign. So if you want a miracle that's living today, two things. Number one, you look around, amazing, all over the place, amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are the system that He's created. And how He responds to us, how He takes care of us, how He's made our bodies, how He has allowed us to flourish and thrive. And then number two is the Quran, how the Quran conveys the message, speaks about matters the Prophet could not have spoken about. The Prophet didn't know how to read. The Prophet didn't know how to write. The Prophet didn't have access to these details. He wasn't known as a person, as an author, as a scholar, as a poet. He was known as the truthful, as the trustworthy, as a, you know, amazing human being, as a good businessman, as a good family man, but not known as the one who had access to all of this information. That is evidence that the book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conclusion, this also surah has many interesting points about the Day of Judgment, what happens on the Day of Judgment, but we'll go to the conclusion, which is in the very end. Allah says here, Ayah number 89, من جاء بالحسنة فله خير منها. Whoever does a good deed shall be rewarded with what is better. ومن جاء بالسيئة وهم من فزع يومئذ آمنون. And they shall be secure from the fear of that day. And whoever does evil will be flung down on their faces in the fire. Are you not rewarded according to your deeds? Hasana here, the word al-hasana is not just a good deed. In fact, the translation is not correct. Tabari mentions this is good deeds, that is believing in Allah and worshipping Allah alone and saying la ilaha illallah muqinan biha, being certain of la ilaha illallah. So Tabari says al-hasana here means la ilaha illallah, and that ties to the theme of the surah, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. So whoever says that, believes that, lives that, then they will get all types of good in this life and all types of good in the next life. And asayya is the opposite of that. The opposite of that will be not just like any type of evil, because you can have a person who is a believer doing evil things. They will be held accountable. They will be punished. They would have to, you know, pay reparations, as the Quran and Sunnah speak about it. But here, asayya specifically is the one who does not acknowledge la ilaha illallah, who does not say that there is only one God worthy of worship. But that is the person who is referred to here with asayya. All right. So that is the end of this surah. It concludes with talking. It started with talking about the ones who believe, hudan wa bushra lil mu'minin. It ends with talking about the Prophet ﷺ and showing how he ﷺ practices the faith and how he's devoted, by showing that he is worshipping Allah, of course, and he is commanded to recite the Quran. All right, so that is a beautiful circling back and ties together the beginning and the end of the surahs. The next surah is Surah Al-Qasas. Surah Al-Qasas means the story, right? Al-Qasas is, Qissa is a story, Qasas is stories. And the word Qissa comes from the Arabic, its etymology is to follow someone's footsteps. In Surah number 18, Allah says, فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. Musa and his servant retraced their steps until they got to the place where they met Khidr. All right? So that means that the story that's being told is not being told just for the sake of entertainment. The story is being told with a very clear purpose. The very, very clear purpose of the story being told is that we are supposed to put ourselves in the shoes of the protagonist and try to walk in their shoes. Not just for sake of following the story, but actually as an example to follow for our lives, as a role model for our lives, to modify our behavior accordingly. That is how it's supposed to be. We listen to the story, we learn from it, and then we try to emulate that behavior when we are in the same type of situation. And we will never be in a situation that's as bad as a prophet who went through, who would go through the most difficult situation. It won't be as bad for us. It will be a little easier. So if it's a little easier, we could most certainly emulate the sacrifice of the one who went through something harder. Now, this is surah also begins with Taseen Meem. And as you might notice, after Taseen Meem, it speaks about the verses of the book that make things clear. Again, the Quran is mentioned. The Quran clarifies, the religion clarifies. It gives us clarity of thought, clarity of vision, a worldview that's clear. Our fundamental belief is clear. The secondary aspects of that belief system are clear. And that is what the Quran mentions. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَإِ مُوسَى. Let's read the introduction. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَإِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. We shall narrate to you some of the story of Moses and Pharaoh with the truth for people who believe. Again, Musa alayhi salam is here, and we're going to discuss a lot about Musa alayhi salam. He is the most frequently mentioned person in the Quran. Okay, but Allah begins by talking about the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh behaved arrogantly in the land. divided the people into groups, seeking to weaken one section, slaying their sons and sparing their daughters. And he was of those who spread corruption on earth. The Pharaoh was ruling with the classic divide and conquer technique. This is how the colonizers colonized the world. Divide and conquer. Make deals with this tribe against their brethren tribe. And set them in a state of war. Let them destroy themselves. And then come and take the spoils of war afterwards. Spoils of victory afterwards. Same thing here. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. He had divided the people so that there was no unity. No one could stand up to the Pharaoh because they were not divided. They were not united, excuse me. And he would constantly seek to weaken those who were trying to rally. How so? In the most brutal way. In the most brutal criminal way you can imagine. By murdering them. But not just murdering the people. Murdering the most innocent, helpless of the people. The kids. But not just murdering the kids. Because he wants to humiliate the people whose kids he's murdering. He's murdering their sons. And leaving the daughters alive. To tell them that you're never going to get strong. Because I'm going to kill your kids, your boys. And I'll leave you with all your girls. And if I want to, I'll enslave them and take them from you. This was the way the Pharaoh operated. Can you see a glimpse of how evil of a criminal he was, and how brutal his techniques were? And still today, you have historically, and not too far, not that long ago, how brutally so much of the world was colonized, and these exact tactics were replicated. But today, those people are celebrated as heroes. Like Winston Churchill is celebrated as some hero. He brutally killed 4 million people in Bengal. Subhanallah. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Literally letting people starve to death. This is unfortunately how tyrants and dictators, the criminals of them, that's how they rule. But Allah says, in the middle of all that darkness, there is the power of Allah that serves as a light. We wish to favor those who were oppressed in the land, to make them leaders and make them inheritors of our bounty, to give them power in the land. Okay, the oppressed will rise from the ashes and become the kings. And to show the Pharaoh and Haman and their hosts, their army. Haman was Pharaoh's next in charge. The very same thing that they feared. They feared an uprising. Allah said, watch the uprising. Rise from your own house, O Pharaoh. How so? Allah makes a promise. This is the surah. The theme of the surah is being certain of Allah's promise. Allah's going to make a promise and he'll show how he keeps his promises. And the idea is, O Prophet of Allah, Allah will fulfill his promises to you as well. And the idea for us is, if Allah has promised us something in the Quran, he's promised us something in the Sunnah, that will be fulfilled. Just like Allah fulfills his promises, all of them, to all the people before. An example here, particularly Musa alayhi salam, he will fulfill his promises to us as well. And they are far less, far less dangerous, far less more difficult. Now here we are. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. Musa alayhi salam, the baby Musa, is about to be killed. Because that's what the Pharaoh would do. He would kill the boys. So, now Allah inspires the mother of Musa alayhi salam, this amazing lady. Notice the ladies in this surah, by the way. The mother of Musa, the sister of Musa, the wife of Musa, all of them are incredible role models, outstanding ladies. Okay? Allah inspires her. And look at how powerful, how courageous this lady is. Allah says to her, feed him, suckle him, breastfeed him. Okay? But when you are afraid that he's going to get assassinated, the guards are at the door trying to kill this baby, don't let them do that. Sneak away and toss him in the river. Cast him in the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And don't be afraid. Don't fear. What's Allah's promise? Inna radduhu ilayhi. We will return him to you. And we will make him a prophet. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Now, the guards of the Pharaoh came. that try to, you know, they hear a baby, they try to come inside the house to kill the baby. The mother of Musa sneaks away, puts him in the river, and off he is floating in this little basket in the river. And where does this basket end up floating to? It ends up floating to the household of the Pharaoh, where another amazing lady, the wife of the Pharaoh, Asiya, one of the great ladies of all time, picks up this baby. And she says, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ. He will be a joy to the eye for me and you. We will both, you know, enjoy the blessing of this baby, because she didn't have her own child. The Pharaoh was inclined to kill, because he knew this is a Bani Israeli child. She said, don't kill him. Maybe he will be of use to us. Maybe we'll keep him as our son. We'll adopt him as our son. How can he harm us if he's our son, right? But they were not realizing that Musa alayhi salam was going to be the one who's going to bring about their downfall. Because the Pharaoh was always paranoid. The Bani Israelites are going to rally around some person and come and, you know, just overpower us with their numbers. Okay? So he kept killing their kids. Now, one of their kids is being raised in the house of the Pharaoh himself. وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّي مُوسَى فَارِغًا. But the mother of Musa, as powerful and strong as she is, she's still a human. She's still a mother. Her heart was like empty. Okay, the ayah says, or the transition says, her heart was full of anxiety. In reality, فارغ is something that's just like barren. Like, it's like the cupboard is bare. She's got, like, she is like, her battery is discharged. She is just, she's done. She is about to give up now. Okay? But Allah says, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah strengthened her heart so she held on a little longer. And she devised a plan. What was the plan? The next lady in this story, the sister of Musa. Okay? She says to the sister of Musa, go follow him. So she watched the baby as the baby floated down the river, downstream, and recognized, and she was smart. She made sure no one saw her. And then when she knows the baby's in the palace, she finds out as a smart young lady, woman, that the baby's okay. She finds out that no one, the baby is not drinking milk from anybody. Okay? So now she goes and says, you know, I know somebody who can breastfeed this baby. Would you like us to take care of this baby? And that is how the sister of Musa became the way, or the one who brought Musa back to the mother of Musa, كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا, so that her heart will be comforted and that she will not grieve, and so that she can know that the promise of Allah is the truth. But most of them don't realize it. And that was Allah's promise that He made to her, and then He kept it. And how amazingly He fulfilled it, right? Saved Musa from the person who's trying to kill him by giving him shelter in the house of the person who's trying to kill him. And then, as the mother of Musa is so scared, the sister of Musa, you know, is the one who she sends to watch over the baby as he's helplessly floating in this, on this river. She finds out where he is, convinces the people that I know someone who can take care of him, and brings the baby back to the mother. Amazing. And now, every day, baby Musa comes to the mother for breastfeeding, and then goes back. And every day comes back, and then goes back. How amazingly Allah made sure that the promise that Allah made was kept. Musa alayhi salam will get in trouble. This is Musa alayhi salam, by the way, before prophethood. Certainty in Allah's promise, before prophethood. Then certainty in the promise of Allah after prophethood. Or during prophethood, Musa gets into trouble. How so? He was a fine young man. He was strong. He was built like a tank. Okay? But he was also extremely smart. أَتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Wisdom and knowledge. And this is the thing. Again, as believers, we pride ourselves on being people of wisdom and knowledge. People who are learned and people who acquire knowledge. People who say the right things, who do the right things. This is something that is a source of pride for us. We don't find joy in being irresponsible, or it's not fashionable to be irresponsible. It is actually, for us, fashionable to be wise and knowledgeable. And that's All you notice that in the Quran throughout. Okay, Musa gets in trouble. How so? He entered the city. He saw two people are fighting. One of them is from Bani Israel. The other one is not. Musa al-Islam steps in, punches the guy who is not from Bani Israel. Okay, فَوَكَزَهُ Musa. All right, and then he ends him. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. That man dies. Okay, you thought Muhammad Ali was a great puncher, rahimahullah. Well, Musa al-Islam could end the man. Muhammad Ali just knocked out something, listed him with one punch. Musa al-Islam finished him off with one punch. But he didn't intend to kill him. This is manslaughter. Okay? He wasn't intending to kill this man. It was just the force and the situation caused it. And then Musa al-Islam realized that this is like a fatal mistake. This is a mistake that he's made, and this is going to be trouble. And he recognizes it, that he has done something wrong. He asks Allah for forgiveness. But he also learns a lesson. He says, look, I am not going to repeat this again. This is from the wisdom. You make a mistake once, that's a mistake. You make it twice, that shows you're not really wise. He's like, I'm not going to make this mistake again. I will never be the helper of the guilty. I got pulled into it out of emotion. I didn't really actually verify who's right and who's wrong, who deserved punishment, who didn't. And unfortunately, the consequences of his choices, he would have to live with, because this very same person would then rat out Musa alayhi salam. Hey Moses, do you want to kill me just as you killed a man yesterday? Right? He got into another scuffle with another person, and now he is about to rat out Musa when he recognizes Musa is coming for him. You only want to be a tyrant in the land. You don't want to set things right. This is the thing. If we do things emotionally, oftentimes there's like a ripple effect to it, and those consequences we have to deal with, and that ended up costing Musa al-Islam, because he had to now flee for his life. Okay? He had to flee for his life. A good person told him, رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. A man came running from far side of the city, said, oh Moses, the authorities are conspiring to kill you. They're going to frame you for murder. They're not going to accept this as manslaughter. They will say an Israelite killed an Egyptian, and that will be it. You would have no case to make. Run away, Musa. I am your well-wisher. So he runs away, Musa alayhi salam. Okay? And he prays in this difficult moment that, oh Lord, help me get through this. Musa alayhi salam makes dua. Musa alayhi salam's dua is answered in ayah number 22. He manages to flee the Egypt and the Pharaoh who is pursuing him, and reaches Midian. Now, as he reaches Midian, this is a strange land. He doesn't know anybody here. Okay, he reaches Midian and he says, he finds that there is people watering their flocks, and there's two women who are just standing there. All right. Again, the role of women in the surah is very fascinating. Musa alayhi salam goes up and he's like, what's up with this? Right? Ma khatbukuma, why aren't you taking water for your flock? They're like, well, we can't do it until the shepherds take away their sheep. We can't really go ahead because the men are there. So we have to wait until the men leave, and then we get whatever else we want. Now Musa al-Islam recognizes that this is an injustice. This is unfair, right? That's not fair at all. So he takes now their flocks, and he, again, uses his strength this time to water the flocks, and then returns. And now he's got, like, he just did this because it was the right thing to do. It wasn't anything that he had to gain from it. It was just the right thing to do, so he does it. But as he's doing it, he's making dua. He's like, oh Allah, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. My Lord, I am truly in need of whatever blessing you send down to me. Okay, Musa makes dua. Musa's dua is answered. How is it answered? One of the girl comes and says, hey, my dad would like to reward you. When he tells the father what had happened, he said, don't worry, you're safe with us now. And he says, you know what? I'd like you to marry one of my daughters. Okay? And the condition is, the mahar is, you stay with me for 8 years. But if you stay for 10, that'll be better. And Musa al-Islam accepts that. Now, amazingly, look at how Musa's dua was answered. He was afraid. He says, oh Allah, najjini min al-qawmi al-zalimin. Save me from the wrongdoing people. Allah saved him by bringing him into the town of Madian. He's lost his family. He's got nobody left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a family. He lost all his possessions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a job. and a household. Everything he lost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced for him. And the dua was, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. My Lord, I am truly in need of whatever blessing you may send down for me. Promise made, promise kept. That is the theme of the surah. Ayah number 24, by the way, this is a dua for the one who's trying to get married as well. Because Musa as-Salam made this dua and got married. So people are like, you know what? We should make this dua trying to get married. But it's fine. It's a beautiful dua. You should make it for whatever reason, but also for the purposes of seeking a good partner for your life. Musa alayhi salam also, two points about this story, and then I'll conclude very shortly, is that he's teaching us how to make dua. Dua is done not just by just words, it's actually action. He first did a good deed of helping these two ladies. Then he made dua. That's how duas are made. Good deed, good actions, and then you follow that up with dua. That's why fasting, when we make dua at the end of the fast, we've done a good deed the whole day, lots of good deeds, alhamdulillah, the whole day. Now we make a dua and Allah answers the dua. Number two is how amazing is the story where, you know, like one of the two women came to Musa, right? To one of the two came walking up shyly. One of the two girls said, Father, hire him. Okay. Allah doesn't tell us which of the two Musa married, right? There's two girls, two sisters, right? He married one of the two. But Allah doesn't mention who he married, because that's actually not the point of the story. And frankly, that's nobody's business. That's only Musa alayhi salam's business. And this is an important lesson for us, that we as believers are taught by the Quran and the Sunnah that min husni islam al mar'i tarquhu ma la ya'nihi. From the beautiful aspects of a person's religion is that he or she only focuses or only he or she leaves things that are not their concern, that isn't their business. People's private lives, what are they doing? That is none of your business. That's none of my business. We leave things we let people have their privacy, we let people have their space. This is a very important thing that we learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it's implied beautifully here. Allah didn't mention which of the two. Allah didn't mention the choice he made, because that's not our business. That is Musa alayhi salam's business. And that is, again, promise made, promise kept. If I could just take a couple of minutes to wrap this up, inshallah. Promise made during prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam here when he is returning to Egypt. And he says to him, here he actually describes how the bush was, where Allah spoke to him from. He came to it. He was called by a voice from a bush in a blessed spot on the right side of the valley, that, oh Musa, I am God, the Lord of the universe. We don't believe that Allah is there in the fire. That's not our belief. But it's the voice. Nudiya min shatil wadi al-ayman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his creation. He's not inside or part of the creation. But he spoke to Musa, and the voice came from that bush. And that is where Musa alayhi salam received his first revelation. Okay, the promise that Allah made to Musa alayhi salam is ayah number 33. Allah made him the promise when he says to Musa, hey Musa, go and free your people. He says, oh my Lord, I have killed one of their people. I fear that they will kill me. And my brother Harun, he is more eloquent. My brother Aaron is more eloquent than me. So help me with him and let him be a backup for me. Because I fear they will reject me because I'm not very eloquent in the way I speak. Allah says his promise, سَنَشُدُّ عَضُدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ. We shall strengthen your arm through your brother. And we will give you both power. فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا. So they will not be able to harm you. بِآيَاتِنَا. Set forth with our signs. You and those who follow you will prevail. Allah makes that promise to Musa alayhi salam. The promise of Allah is fulfilled in ayah number 40. How so? After all that transpired, أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ. We seized him and his hosts and tossed them into the sea, and can then consider the fate of the wrongdoers, and consider how the people who were oppressed and enslaved for generations, how we made them leaders and kings. And that is Allah's favor that He chooses to bestow upon whoever He wants. And subhanAllah, this is an amazing, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing to Musa alayhi salam how he made promises to him and how he kept his promise. The surah concludes with Allah telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right, that the promises that he has made to you, O Prophet, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ, the one who has entrusted you with the responsibility of the Quran will surely lead you to a successful end. O Prophet, you know, there's a large passage where Allah speaks about the Prophet versus Quraysh, because Musa versus Fir'aun, the parallel to that is the Prophet versus Quraysh. Okay, the same exact parallels are driven are there. So Allah mentions after Musa versus Pharaoh, the Prophet versus Quraysh, and quite a few details there. But then Allah concludes by saying, just like the promise of Allah was fulfilled to Musa before prophethood and during prophethood, the promise of Allah will be fulfilled to you as well. So don't you worry, O Prophet of Allah. Do not, don't become distressed. It's not that, this was something you weren't expecting this. You were not expecting to be chosen as a prophet. But it is Allah's mercy that he chose you and gave this to you. So don't become a supporter to those who are rejecting the truth. Don't let others divert you from God's revelations. Focus on what's in your control. وَدُعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكْ. Just invite people. Invite people. And then let the rest... leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll take care of it. That is the end of Surah Al-Qasas, inshallah. And then it's a beautiful foreshadowing, because the Prophet ﷺ eventually also became the one who conquered his enemies, the people of Quraysh. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll look at Surah Ankabut and the rest of the Juz. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. I'll see you all tomorrow. Same time, same place. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.